Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. I think I want to start this morning with a word of prayer. Father, I thank you for all of your blessings, Lord. I always consider it a privilege and honor to preach your word. I'm humbled that you've chosen me to do that. Today, Lord, you've given me a difficult task, and I pray that you would use me as your servant, that you would help me to say the words you want spoken, and that you would help us as we hear those words to respond accordingly. In the name of Jesus, amen. As Christians, we are thankful, or at least we should be thankful, for God's forgiveness. He forgives us when we confess our sins. He forgives us of all of our sins. The Bible says He cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And no matter how many times we sin, if we ask for forgiveness, God always forgives us. One of the amazing things about God isn't just His forgiveness, but His constant forgiveness. There's a flip side to forgiveness that we're not quite so crazy about. And that is that God calls on us to forgive others. Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king which should take account of his servants. And when he had begun to reckon, one was brought unto him which owed him 10,000 talents. But forasmuch as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, in payment to be made. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and looked and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. But the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me that thou owest. And his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. And he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told unto their lord all that was done. Then his Lord, after that he had called him, said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desiredest me. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one his brother their trespasses. First of all, I want us to notice the conundrum. Don't you love that word? I love that word, conundrum. Peter had a conundrum. He started this conversation, he started this parable by asking the question in verse 21. Peter said to him, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Apparently someone had sinned against Peter. And that left him in a conundrum. Part of the conundrum was he didn't know how many times he should forgive his brother. The rabbis, the Jewish rabbis, taught that we should forgive somebody three times. They took that from the book of Amos. And they said, you forgive somebody three times, and if you forgive them three times and they do it again, it's their problem. And so Peter thought he was being very gracious. He said, should I do it seven times? That's more than twice what the rabbis teach. We'll get to Jesus' answer here in just a minute. But the other part of the conundrum for Peter was that it was a brother who sinned against him. Did you catch that? Peter said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? The conundrum was it was a fellow believer, a Christian, who had sinned against Peter. And apparently he or she had done it more than once because he asked, how many times do I have to forgive this person. That's the idea of the question. I have to forgive them, but how many times do I have to forgive them? The unsaved are, don't you just hate this? I just hate this. The unsaved are quick to point out the flaws of Christians. Sometimes it's the real, sometimes we really do something wrong. Sometimes we really sin and they say, oh, well, I thought you were a Christian. You're not supposed to do that. Don't you just hate that when that happens? It makes us feel guilty, especially if it's something that we shouldn't have done. Sometimes we don't do something that we should and they say, well, I thought you were a Christian. I thought you were supposed to do that. And sometimes it's just their expectations of what Christians should do. And they point that out to us. I never like that. I don't like it if they're right. I don't like it if they're wrong. I don't like it when anybody points out my flaws. And I think I'm pretty normal. And at least in that aspect. Sometimes it's our brothers and sisters in Christ who point this out. Now, sometimes, in all honesty, a brother or sister will come to us and they'll point out our sin or our flaw in order to help us be restored to fellowship with Christ, or in order to help us to see what we're doing so that we can stop because it is a sin, or they come in love and sincerity and genuineness to restore. Sometimes it's just because their expectations of what we should do as a Christian were not met. And so they're disappointed in what we do, or they're disappointed in what we don't do, and so they become offended, or they become disappointed, or whatever it might be. And sometimes it's our brothers and sisters in Christ who point this out. I've got a news flash for you, and I'm not trying to be a smart aleck, but write this down. I want you to write this down. I want to see people get out pen and paper right now, because I want you to write this down. This is very important, and I'm not trying to be a smart aleck. Are you ready? Christians are not perfect. That's going to come as a surprise to some of the unsaved. And bless our hearts, it's going to come as a surprise to some of the saved. Christians are not perfect. I am living proof of that fact. If you follow me around very long, if you talk to me for very long, if you talk to my wife or my children, you will find out that I am not perfect. And before you get real comfortable and real satisfied with yourself, neither are you. I understand that Christians are forgiven. I understand that Christians are holy and righteous before the Lord. I understand that when God looks at us, He sees us through the blood of Jesus Christ, but He does not see perfection in us because we are not perfect. Perfection is not the demand of God. It's the goal of the Christian. It's what God wants us to work toward. But He doesn't expect us to be perfect because nobody is. He expects us to be making progress toward perfection, toward Christ's likeness. But Christians aren't perfect. The Bible is full of examples. Before Moses submitted to and obeyed God, he resisted God. You remember that? He tried his best to talk God into sending somebody else, anybody else, to deliver Israel. Anybody but him. He did not want to go. He used excuses. He used reasons that he thought were reasons that were really just excuses. He said, I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't talk. Send somebody else. Send my brother. They won't listen to me. He resisted before he obeyed. He wasn't perfect. Moses wasn't perfect. You remember one time God told him, I always forget it, which was he was either to speak to the rock or strike the rock, and whichever it was he was supposed to do, he did the other. And because of that, he could not enter into the promised land. Moses was not perfect. Samson was one of the judges of Israel, and he was involved with prostitutes. It's amazing to me. Sometimes the stories you read in the Bible about the people who were following God and people that God used and chose to use. And there are several times Samson was involved with prostitutes. Eli was the priest of the Lord. He had two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, and they were scoundrels. They had sexual intercourse with the ladies who came to the temple. They robbed part of the offering from the people who brought them. And in spite of their in spite of their immorality and their sin, Eli allowed them to continue to serve as priests. Eli wasn't perfect. Jonah, we all know what happened with Jonah. He disobeyed God and literally tried to flee from God. Wound up in the belly of a whale, belly of a fish. Jonah wasn't perfect. We forget that sometimes. Even after he obeyed God and went into preach to the Ninevites, he pouted because they got saved. Can you imagine? If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian and you get saved, I promise I won't pout. David, the great king of Israel. David, the man whom God described as a man after mine own heart, committed adultery and conspiracy to commit murder. David wasn't perfect. Peter, the man who asked this question about forgiveness, the man who walked on water. Only two men in the history of the world have ever walked on water. One of them was the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and the other one was Peter. Denied Christ three times, even though he said, "I'll never do it." Paul was one of the great missionary, maybe the first great missionary, certainly the great missionary of the New Testament, wrote many of the New Testament books as inspired by the Holy Spirit. Paul got into a conflict with Barnabas, his fellow missionary. The Bible in Acts chapter 15 calls it contention. Doesn't say they had a disagreement. Doesn't say they had a falling out. It said the contention was so sharp that Paul and Barnabas separated ways. Right? What were they supposed to do? They were supposed to forgive one another. But what did they do? They separated. They weren't perfect. Christians are not perfect. And if you as a Christian expect perfection from your brothers and sisters in Christ, you are going to be disappointed. And if you allow yourself, you are going to be offended. So listen, folks, this is another one of those grow up messages. Get over it. Christians are not perfect. I need to forgive my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ because I am going to need to be forgiven by my brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. So do you, because so are you. We need to forgive our brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ because God said, do it. And that brings me to the command. I mentioned that Peter thought he was being gracious by offering to forgive his brother seven times. I want you to listen to Jesus' response and the command that he gave in verse 22. Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. You know what we do. We figure it out, right? 70 times seven, that's 490. Okay, let me just write this down. This is one. Right? I'm just going to keep track. And when I hit 491, buddy, you're toast. That's not what Jesus meant. We know that. Come on, we know better than this. This parable is so plain, it's so plain and so obvious that you have to try to not understand it. 490 times, Jesus is saying, listen, as many times as your brother sins against you, forgive him. I want you to notice what he did not say. He did not say, if he asks. He did not say, if he forgives you. He did not say, if he straightens up and stops doing it. He said, as many times as he forgives against you, as he sins against you, forgive him. Period. We don't like that. I don't like that. I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't like it. Sometimes I just want to be mad. Sometimes I just want to be offended. Sometimes I just want to get up behind this pulpit and just really let go. And I'm also going to be honest with you and tell you this is one of those Sundays when I'm doing my best to restrain that because I want to preach the Word of God. Not the anger or the disappointment or the offense of Kevin. God said, as many times as he sins against you, you forgive him. And aren't you glad that God does that for us? I have never once called upon God to forgive me of a sin that I'd committed before. That he said, no, buddy, I'm sorry, I can't do it. You've already asked for forgiveness for that sin. And you did it again. You're toast. Every time I ask, he forgives. Every time our brother sins against us, we forgive. By the way, the Greek word most often used for forgiveness means to send away, never to return. Don't you like that? When God forgives our sins, he forgets our sins. The Bible tells us they're as far as the east is from the west, and the east and west never meet. He sends away our sins, and he never brings those sins back up again. Even if we do the same thing again, he doesn't say, oh, yeah, we've been here before. When are you going to learn your lesson? He's the father of the prodigal with arms open wide and said, come on, son, it's all right. I forgive you. When we forgive our brother or sister in Christ for a sin that they have committed against us or an offense that they have committed against us, we need to not only forgive it, we need to forget it. We need to never talk about it again and never bring it up again. This is what we do too. On that list that we're keeping track of, we write down what the sin was, and if they do it again, we're going to say, well, I forgave you for that once. You remember back in 1932 or whenever it was? You know, I forgave you for that once. How many times am I going to have to forgive you for this? When are you going to learn your lesson? It's not in the Bible, folks. It may be in our hearts, it may be in our minds, but it's not in the Bible. Jesus said, forgive, and when he told us to forgive, he meant to forget. If we refuse to forgive our brothers and sisters in Christ, it turns to disappointment. Sometimes that disappointment turns to anger. Anger turned outward becomes vengeance. And anger turned inward becomes bitterness. Christians should not be vengeful or bitter. Christians should be forgiving. I know. I've heard the excuses. I've voiced the excuses to God myself. I've felt the excuses. Oh, I know I'm supposed to, but I just can't. Of course we can. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. If he commanded me to do it, and boy, as he commanded us to do it, he will enable us to do it. The problem is our ability. The problem is our willingness. Well, if we're going to be truthful, what we ought to say is, I know I'm supposed to, but I won't. You remember Thomas, when Jesus appeared after his crucifixion and resurrection to the disciples, and Thomas wasn't present. And then when the other disciples told Thomas about it, you remember what he said? He said, I won't believe until I see. Not that I can't, I won't. At least he was honest. Jesus answered his honesty by appearing to him and said, here, Thomas, here's my hands and here's my feet. You said you wouldn't until you saw me. You said you wouldn't until you touched me. Here I am. See me and touch me. If we would be honest with God and say, God, I know I'm supposed to forgive them, but I won't. Just maybe God would come to us and said, let me show you my glory. Let me show you my forgiveness for you. And maybe you will. We've seen the conundrum and we've heard the command, and now let's talk about the consequences. In particular, let's talk about the consequences of unforgiveness. Jesus told a parable about an unforgiving servant. In this parable, the king represents God, and the servants of the king represent the followers of the king. In this case, they represent the followers of Jesus. They represent Christians. So let's just get right down to the nitty-gritty. They represent us. One of those servants owed the king 10,000 talents, a great debt. As a matter of fact, the number 10,000 is an infinite number. It simply means that his debt couldn't even be calculated. He owed so much, they couldn't even figure it out. The interest, I suppose, kept compounding so quickly that they couldn't even figure out what this guy owed. So the king called and said, hey, bud, it's time to pay up. Well, of course he couldn't pay it. So the king decided to sell him and his wife and his children and everything that he owned, sell him and his family into slavery and sell all of his possessions. It wouldn't get anywhere near close to paying for the debt, but at least the king could recoup some of his losses. But the servant began to plead and beg for mercy. He asked for time. He said, if you'll just give me time, I'll pay all that I owe. Well, he couldn't. The debt couldn't be calculated. If he'd worked every minute of every day of the rest of his life, he couldn't pay the debt. So the king, in his grace and his mercy, forgave the debt. All of it. That same servant, that forgiven servant, went out and he found a fellow servant. Now this is important. He found a fellow servant. A servant who served the same king. He went and found a member of the First Free Will Baptist Church in Blackwell, Oklahoma, with whom he attended church. And he said, listen to me, bud, you owe me 100 pence. Well, 100 pence doesn't compare to 10,000 talents, but it's not a small sum. It's about 3 months' salary. Well, this guy didn't have the money. So he pled. He said, if you'll give me time. Sound familiar? If you'll give me time, I'll pay the debt. And the forgiven servant said, not a chance. And he cast him into prison. Because in prison, he could earn just a little bit of money. And in prison, that little bit of money that he earned would go right directly to that servant that he owed the money to. So that eventually the debt would be paid. It's sort of like garnishing your check. He refused to forgive. I won't. Not I can't. I won't. I want you to see what happened. In verse 31. The Bible says, so when his fellow servants, that's the fellow servants of both the forgiven and the not forgiven servant, when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry. Unforgiveness, when we refuse to forgive our fellow believers, it causes sorrow among our brethren. It not only causes sorrow among our brethren, it causes contention in the body of Jesus Christ. In Proverbs chapter 6, verse 19, there's a list in chapter 6. There's a list given of the Bible says that things that God hates, says they're an abomination. They're an abomination to God. And in chapter 19, here's what's on the list. He that soweth discord among his brethren. I'm going to tell you something, church. There is unforgiveness in our congregation. Breaks my heart to say that. Marriages are in jeopardy because there's unforgiveness. Family relationships are in jeopardy because there's unforgiveness. Not can't. Won't. Relationships among the people of this church, in some cases, are in jeopardy because there is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness causes sorrow among your fellow servants. And if it doesn't speak to anybody else, it speaks to me and it breaks my heart. Unforgiveness, the spirit of unforgiveness also causes the wrath of the king. In verse 34, the Bible says, and his Lord was wroth. His king was angry because the forgiven servant refused to be forgiving. It brought the anger of the king. I want to tell you something. If I get mad at you, it may not matter. But if God is angry with you, you are in serious trouble. God is loving. God is kind. God is gentle. God is patient. God is forgiving. God is holy. And God demands obedience. And when we refuse to obey, not that we can't, but that we won't, it brings the wrath of the King. And finally, it brought torment on the unforgiving servant. Verse 34, and his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. The unforgiving servant was delivered to the tormentors, not the executioners, the tormentors. He lived with his unforgiveness. He lived with his torment until he would pay the debt. That part of this parable confuses us because we're thinking, now wait a minute. The king forgave him of that debt, that 10,000 talents, he forgave him. And you just said that when God forgives, he washes it away and it's gone forever. This servant didn't owe that debt. He owed the debt of forgiveness. He owed his fellow servant forgiveness. He owed his king forgiveness. Listen, sometimes we think that our relationships with each other and our relationships with the unsaved world, they're just between us. They're not. They're between us and God. We are God's children. When you treat me, whatever way you treat me, and most of the time it's good, and thank you for that, but when we treat each other, whatever way we treat each other, we're treating God that way. This unforgiving servant owed his king forgiveness, not just his fellow servant. And the Bible says that he was delivered to the tormentors until he would forgive. I want you to know something. You already know it. I'm just going to say it. An unforgiving spirit will affect your spiritual health. It's disobedience to God, and it drives a wedge between you and God. Separates. There's a separation because we're obligated to obey God. He is not to become a Christian, but because we are a Christian. He forgave us completely of everything that we've done. We're obligated to forgive others. And when we don't, when we refuse, it affects our spiritual health. It drives a wedge between us. I can prove that. It affects your physical health. It's a bitterness inside of you. It affects your mental health. It affects your family relationships. It affects you on your job. It affects you in school. I mean, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, it has an adverse effect. You've heard people describe it like a cancer. It is. It's like a cancer, and it's just eating away, and it's just tearing you up. It's tormenting you. Because the king is wroth, and he has delivered you to the tormentors until you will pay the debt that you owe, and the debt that you owe is to forgive your brother, forgive your sister, honor your king by forgiving like he has forgiven you. Would you stand with me this morning? Sheriff, you'll come and play a song. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I want you to know that I understand that this has been a difficult message to hear. I want you to know that as hard as it was to hear, it was much harder to preach. Much harder. So I want to ask you this, some questions this morning. First of all, do you need to be forgiven by God? Is there unconfessed, unforgiven sin in your life? God will forgive you. All you got to do is ask Him. Doesn't make any difference what the sin is. Doesn't make any difference how many times you've done it. If you will ask, God will forgive. Will you do that this morning? Now I want to ask you, do you need to be forgiven by someone else? Maybe it's time you ask. Do you need to forgive someone? The Bible tells us whether they ask or not, we're supposed to forgive. Will you do that? Will you be obedient to God? If you have a need this morning, you come. I'll share a place. A couple of you ladies come this morning and pray with CJ, please. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for the unmistakable meaning of your word this morning. I hope I've done all right, God. I hope that you will touch us with your love, remind us of your forgiveness, and I hope that you'll make us bold and brave. And help us to be forgiving. I hope, Father, that you will make us just like Jesus. It's in His name we pray. Amen. Thank you all for coming this morning. I appreciate your attention very much. Come back tonight at 6 o'clock. We'll continue our study of the book of Mark. Wayne, would you dismiss us, please?